So, we've been driving around in this beautiful weather. Maybe people have your windows down. Maybe you have a sunroof and you're enjoying it all. Makes you think about fun times in cars, right? And it made me think about my first car. My very first car that I owned was a 1989 red Ford Mustang. I got it when I was in high school. I knew nothing about cars, but I had a relative who was in the car business, and this had just been traded in. This isn't the exact car, but it looked a lot like this. It was just traded in, and he thought it would be perfect for me. So I took his advice, and I got the car. And despite the fact that it is a literal death trap in the winter, especially driving on rural roads between Albert Lea and St. Peter when I was going to college, it actually took really good care of me. It got me through the end of high school, it got me all the way through college, and most of the way through seminary. But in my third year of seminary, something changed, and it wasn't the car. While I was in seminary, I ended up getting married, and then at the end of our third year, we had our first child. Now, I don't know if you can tell, there is a back seat in that car, and I had to put a car seat in there. And anybody who's had a baby knows that they come with these gigantic car seats, bigger than any human. And to get that in the back seat of that car was an acrobatic feat, let's just say that. But even worse than that, to put it in safely, you had to put that huge arm down, which meant it had to drive into the back of the driver's seat, and then the driver's seat had to stay exactly vertical and as far forward as you could get. So then the steering wheel is in your stomach and you're trying to drive. So what changed was me. My family didn't fit in that car anymore. Sometimes fitting in is a physical issue. Like this time when we were hiking with the aforementioned baby, now my oldest daughter and my youngest niece, and they decided they could fit into a crack between these two boulders. The rest of us on the hike thought, I'm not sure I fit in, or I'm not sure I want to fit in. Who knows what else is fitting in there, right? But they were able to physically squeeze into a place that maybe others physically couldn't squeeze into. So sometimes fitting in is a physical issue, but sometimes it is a cultural issue. And this brings us then to our reading that we just heard from the book of Numbers. And in this reading, God was telling the Israelites, any alien residing among you who wishes to keep the Passover to the Lord shall do so according to the statute of the Passover and according to its regulation. You shall have one statute for both the resident alien and the native of the land. So in this command, God is talking to the Israelites and telling them how to celebrate this particular festival called the Passover. You might remember the Passover happened when God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. God sent the angel of death and it passed over their houses. And God wanted the Israelites to remember this occurrence. And so God told them, every year you are to have a special meal and a festival where you are purposefully educating the next generation, telling them about your experience and telling them about your relationship with God. So this was a very personal, very identity-forming meal and celebration. Well, God said to these Israelites, now that had moved out of Egypt, wandered through a lot of different land, and settled in the promised land, that every time they celebrate this Passover, if there is somebody new there, they should be invited. And by a new person, God meant not Israelite, probably not somebody who knew God, certainly not somebody who knew the whole history. Whoever they were, if they were among you, they were meant to be invited to this celebration. Now, I can imagine the Israelites thinking, well, we can have a visitor section. They can watch from the side while those of us who really belong to this story can do the participation. But that's not what God said. God specifically told them, make the visitor fit in. Do whatever it takes so that that person feels like they fit in, that they get a place at the table, they get a part in the festival. Now, the closest I can think of that this might relate to us is like at a funeral, right? So if we have a funeral, there's somebody we love, we're telling the story of that person, we're sharing memories, and a complete stranger walks in, what would we do with that person? It would be difficult to help them understand the importance of this person that we are thinking about and memorializing. Maybe we would say that visitor shouldn't really participate. They can watch, but maybe it would be hard to share the stories with them and our pain with them. But God said they are meant to be full participants. This reminds me of the first Seder meal I ever attended. I was invited to the Seder meal at the home of my husband's extended family. Now, the Seder meal is the new iteration of the Passover meal. The Seder meal is what current Jewish people do to celebrate the Passover. So I was invited to his extended family's home, and I was nervous for a whole host of reasons. One is because I was still a relative newlywed. We had been married 3 years or less, and these were his cousins, his aunts and uncles, people I really didn't know very well. I barely knew their names. But also at this house was going to be their friends, their neighbors, the people that went to their synagogue, so many people I didn't know. I thought, how am I going to fit in? The second reason I was really nervous is because I clearly wasn't Jewish. In fact, at that point, I was already a Lutheran pastor. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know their rituals. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know their songs. I don't even think that they want me there because I am not their same faith. But the third reason I was really nervous was because we were bringing the aforementioned baby with us. And we were the only ones bringing the baby. And you know how it is when you're the only young family, you just can imagine all the noises that baby's going to make, all the trouble they're going to cause, they're going to disrupt the whole thing. I thought, man, I am not going to fit in. It would probably be better if I just sat in the car the whole time. But as soon as I got to the door, everybody in that house did everything they could to make me feel welcome. They introduced themselves. They showed me where to sit and how to do the rituals. They put the book in my hand. And when I most certainly lost what page we were on because it's in Hebrew and it's going the wrong direction, and they helped me find the right page so I could follow along. And they played with my baby. They did every single thing that was written about in this passage we just read from Numbers. And you know what happened at the end of that meal as we were leaving? It took a few hours. We left that meal, and not only did I leave feeling that I was fully welcomed at their table, I left feeling the seed of love for that family. And in fact, at that point, they were no longer my husband's extended family, but they started to become my family because of how they welcomed me and made me fit in. And I wonder if that was behind part of this statute that God had told the Israelites. Now, I'm sure that everybody here has had a time when they were nervous about fitting in. And as you reflect on that, it's probably going to bring up some uncomfortable emotions. We don't like to be that person worried about fitting in. So we might think that it would be easier to always be in the bigger group, the group that's established, the group where you know you belong, the group that is given the job of welcoming. But that isn't even always the easier part. And this brings us to our second reading today from the book of Matthew. Now, this verse came up at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So he's already spent two chapters telling people a lot of the troubles that might come up by following him, or the ways our hearts could change and be open. And this comes towards the end. Jesus told the people, "Enter through the narrow gate. For that gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it." So I believe Jesus here is talking about culture. And there is a wide path that most of the culture will follow, where they're trying to fit in, where they're not going to do any critical thinking. They're not going to ask themselves what their heart is saying. They're not going to ask themselves if God would want them to do this. They're just going to have their main concern being fitting in. So they are going to follow this very wide path through the very wide gate and never stand out. But Jesus said that is the gate that leads to destruction. So then there's this other one that's the narrow gate. And this might be, in the culture, the person that splits off and says, you know what, I think God's calling me to do something else. God is calling me to reach a different group of people. God is calling me to reach out my hand and invite other people to fit in. And maybe if we go through that narrow gate, it would be easier, right? Or perhaps it is just as dangerous as the wide one. This makes me think about a time my family and I were hiking in Zion National Park. Has anybody been to Zion National Park? Yes. It's beyond words. We can't even talk about how spectacular that park is. And the hikes, everything is amazing and life-changing. One hike in particular that I really enjoyed is called The Narrows. Have you guys been to The Narrows? This is the narrow gate. The Narrows hike is a watery hike. You are hiking in a river, and it goes for miles, this hike through the river. And on each side of the river, you can see these sheer rock faces. They are smooth. There is no place to sit. There is no shore. There's not even a tree to grab onto. Just wet, smooth rocks. And sometimes when you're hiking, it's about ankle deep. Sometimes when you're hiking, it's chest deep. But that's just the way it goes when you're hiking. People are backpacking through this so they can go camp out in the backcountry. But all along the way, starting from the very beginning, there are signs warning of flash floods. Because if water comes through this slot canyon, it is going to come fast and ferociously. And any human in its path will be wiped away. And where do these flash floods come from? They come from rain far, far upstream that is watering the ground and doing all sorts of lovely things, growing the plants. But when it gets funneled into the narrow path, it gets dangerous. It gets fast. It gets deadly. So Jesus is asking us to go through the narrow gate. And what am I thinking about with this flood? I'm thinking about what's happening with this larger culture and the wider gate. And they're watching what's happening in the narrow side, and they're starting to get anxious. Because what happens if we bring a new person in? If we're welcoming somebody different into our group, the group is going to change. And perhaps they like the way the group is right now. They don't want it to change. But even more than that, and I believe this is at the heart of our culture right here in the United States, there is a deep seed of fear. Because if that other person who is different from me gets welcomed into my group, perhaps there won't be any room then for me. And I believe this is the heart of many conversations that we have involving welcoming somebody different in. It's this fear that if they belong, I won't belong anymore. And so out of this fear, the culture, which might just be fine going along through the wide gate, gets funneled and angry and dangerous and fast, and it starts coming after the people entering through the narrow gate. So even though it might seem like it would be better to be one of the larger group, once we take that choice to follow where Jesus said, we are facing danger, perhaps, from the reactions of those who fear what we were doing. Certainly, Jesus went through the narrow gate. In fact, the gate was so narrow, he was the only one walking through it. He was the only one on that path for a long time. He was part of the larger group. He was part of the in crowd. He was part of those that belonged. And yet he purposefully chose to go his own way, to reach out his hand to people who were not welcomed. He reached out his hand to those who were sick, to those who were not Israelite, to those who did not even know God, to those who had questionable occupations. Jesus reached out his hand and invited all of them to his table, to his presence, and ultimately to the presence of God. And that was so scary that the larger culture decided it would be better that he not live. And this is the path Jesus is calling us to. That's so scary. And it's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable to think about putting ourselves out there. But if we're honest, actually, everything about life is uncomfortable, right? Our bodies are uncomfortable. We get sick and we get itches and we get pains, and we're all different shapes and sizes. So every cookie cutter thing that's made for us is just all a little uncomfortable. No seat is exactly right. No bed is exactly right. No clothes are exactly right. We are uncomfortable physically in this world. Nothing fits us exactly right. And we are uncomfortable culturally in this world. We see the evil that swirls through the culture, and it hurts us. It causes our hearts pain. And we are uncomfortable seeing all of the stuff that is happening around us. And it doesn't feel good. But here's the thing. We were not designed to be comfortable in this world. We were not created to fit in to this world. We were created in the image of God. And God, being the creator, is far bigger than this world. So as God's image in this world, we are meant to be uncomfortable when the world is telling us to limit who we are, the space we take up, and how we feel. We are meant to be uncomfortable. I believe Psalm 8 says this very well. I invite you to read this with me if you would like to. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes along the paths of the seas, O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is who we were created to be, too big. And when we feel uncomfortable, let that be an inspiration to us to go out and knock some things down. When we see limitations, when we see barriers, when we hear people say, get smaller so you fit in, break them open. When we see people that are not fitting in, let's knock down the wall so they get in, because we were created to live big in this world. So let's go out and be big in the name and the image of our Creator, making this world fit us in, because we are here on behalf of Jesus to welcome all people to the table. May our tables be bigger. May our chairs be bigger. May our spaces be bigger. May our communities be bigger as we consistently work to be the image of God in this world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you know it is very hard for us to be brave. And yet we hear your calling to live big. So send us out, Lord. Help us to knock down the things that limit us and to help your community grow. Show us how to make all people fit in at your table. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.